Hi, listeners. I'm Jim Tew. I'm a monthly columnist for Bee Culture Magazine. For April 2023, I've been thinking about how to buy an established bee colony splits. What I've found through all my years of beekeeping is that there's lots of suggestions, but not many rules. No doubt you've heard this before. When either presenting or listening to a discussion on increasing colony numbers, there's always an informational requirement to list the four major ways to increase colony numbers. Number one, buy a package of bees. Number two, buy a colony split. Number three, capture a swarm. Or number four, purchase a fully functional colony from another beekeeper. Nearly always, the presenter then elucidates the advantages and disadvantages of each option. Procuring a swarm requires good luck, and purchasing a colony requires just about as much luck to find one for sale, but requires much more monetary investment. The two surest options for increasing or replacing colony numbers are buying a package or buying a split. Purchasing a package of bees is the tried and true option for getting new bees at a time when you're most prepared for them. While I've always enjoyed installing packages, some common problems can present. Maybe something goes wrong with the queen. Maybe the bees drift to other colonies. But I suspect the most routine negative characteristic of package installation is the adult bee population drop that begins to occur within a few days after the package is installed. This happens every time and in every package. In total, it takes a serious amount of time for the queen to become established, begin laying, brood to develop, and then 21 days later for new workers to emerge. Maybe 4 to 5 weeks. Therefore, 4 to 5 weeks after the installation date, the beekeeper has significantly fewer bees in the hive than when the package was originally installed. Any worker bee that died during that broodless period was simply not replaced. Colony splits with established queens on a brood nest eliminate that characteristic population decline that is experienced with packaged bees. That's the main selling points for colony splits. The split comes with an introduced queen that should be laying the entire time that the colony is being established in your yard, so why does anyone buy a package? There's never been an established bee industry infrastructure for routinely producing and distributing splits. Every season, you and I must search for someone who has decided to split their bee colonies and equipment from their established colonies, provide a queen for it, and sell these baby colonies. The cost in time and energy for both the beekeeper and the bees is significant, so the selling cost of the split is always more than the selling price of a package. In general, I prefer splits over packages, but the split purchasing and installing procedure can be more complicated and costly than the simplicity of package usage. In all my years of buying packages and splits, I have found that for me personally, the confusion is in the details. What details? Well, there's quite a few. In no order of priority, I would like to review some of these characteristic details below. Detail number one, split versus nuke. Splits and nukes are essentially the same beehive device, but not exactly. In my opinion, a split is a type of nuke that is intended to grow into a fully functional colony. That can't be said of all nukes. By the way, nukes are nucleus hives or nucleus colonies. For instance, some nukes are only intended to be a component of queen production. They will never grow to full-size colonies. Other nukes have specialty functions, such as populating an observation hive, or possibly being used as a component of a colony cutout procedure. A cutout procedure is simply removing a bee colony from a building. Various sizes and components of nukes frequently have significant use in the scientific community and various research organizations. Ultimately, a nucleus hive seems to be just for the moment. In a way, a nucleus hive could be said to be comparable to a cutting taken from a plant. How big was the cutting? How was the cutting rooted? When, during the season, was the plant cutting taken? Essentially, a nucleus hive is just a bee colony cutting. But details and specifics abound. Detail number two, where to find a split colony purveyor? A few paragraphs above, I wrote that a nucleus hive is frequently just for the moment. In a way, I want to write now that finding someone to sell you colony splits is also just for the moment. Or maybe I should say just for the season. I ask around, I have contacts from previous season. I read advertisements and journals and newsletters. I see online messages. In general, I try to make good luck happen when I'm searching for a producer. In a few instances, the producer was actually just doing me a favor and was not really in the split producing business. In fact, only in a couple of instances have I purchased splits from the same person more than two consecutive seasons. Why? Let's go with that discussion in detail number three. Detail number three, why produce splits for sale? There is no standard reason that jumps out to me that justifies someone splitting their colonies. Monetary income is the clear and present reason. But that is always hard-earned money. Other than money, it could be local reasons. Maybe the beekeeper who is interested in selling splits is in an area that provides good early spring buildup, but does not follow up with a good main nectar flow. These beekeepers have bees, but those bees do not make a lot of honey. So, sell bees and not honey. A producer may be trying to prevent upcoming swarming behavior. To limit that behavior, the beekeeper simply removes some of the bees and brood from the brood nest. Maybe the beekeeper has more colonies that can be maintained. Maybe the beekeeper is interested in doing something different that will provide a needed flush of extra income. Bottom line, I don't know why some people decide to produce splits for sale. Other than large production companies that have management sophistication beyond that of a typical beekeeper, most split producers have limited production capability and are local. In my bee life, providers vary from season to season. Detail number four, what am I paying for? You're paying for whatever you negotiated. Unlike 3-pound packages, there is no standard split. 3-, 4-, 5-frame splits are the most common. The producer will tell you how much honey, pollen, brood, and bees will be in the split. Yes, you'll probably be buying the beekeeper's older combs. In some instances, you may want to phase these out as soon as possible. Maybe that's an article for another time. Nowadays, producers rarely require the frames and equipment to be returned to them. The equipment is included in the selling price. It becomes yours. Being an old guy, I can tell you that in decades past, I was required to provide new frames and foundation and to return the newt box, but mites and viral diseases have put a damper on that requirement. Though it surely increased the selling price, not requiring equipment replacement has made the split transition simpler. Throughout this entire encounter, if the provider is marketing to others and not only doing you a favor, be sure they're inspected by the state apiarist and are approved for selling baby colonies. In fact, you want to know that answer even if the provider is a friend who's trying to help you out. Without a doubt, you're going to be buying Varroa mites in the deal, but you don't want to be buying American foul brood too. Always be alert. Detail number 5. Speaking of newt boxes, in what kind of box do you transfer the split to your home yard? For sure, ask that question during the transaction period. I've had experience with 2 broad types of transfer boxes, wood and temporary. Temporary boxes are made of either corrugated paper or corrugated plastic. I felt best about the wood boxes, but acquiring a permanent 5-frame wooden newt box obviously increased the selling price. Years later, I still have several wooden newt boxes in my bee operation that I acquired from various newt split deals. Wax-coated paper newts are popular as temporary beehive boxes, especially for splits. In my mind, I live in a perfect bee world. So in that perfect world, I plan to bring these small colonists to my home yard and immediately transfer them to standard equipment. There, they will live happily ever after. However, the following saga describes what happens in the real bee world. I bought about 25 frame newts from a respected provider about 100 miles from me. I made the trip. I loaded the splits onto a small open trailer. Using common duct tape, I attached the lid to each paper box, and then I ratchet-strapped rows of boxes to the trailer. It was a good sound load. Of course, it was going to rain on me and my new bees on the trip home, and it did. Upon arriving at home, I found that 2 boxes, the dampened lids had bent back due to the wind velocity and had exposed the internal colony to highway wind speed. I essentially scattered some bees up and down the interstate. Worse, 1 lid on 1 box was completely gone. I still had some bees in the open boxes, but the population had been reduced. But the story doesn't end here. After I arrived home, the weather prediction only grew worse. I hurriedly set up the boxes in my home yard and placed a brick on each corrugated paper colony. After getting back to my easy chair at home, it became official. Within a few hours, a storm was to pass through my hometown with high winds and heavy rain. Back to the yard I raced with a different enclosed box trailer that I had not used before because it wasn't truly roadworthy. I hurriedly placed the colonies in the enclosed trailer and I was scattering bees everywhere. As I was working, I took a second to wonder if the high winds would now destroy both the bees and the trailer. The storm passed, the trailer and the protected paper-housed hives survived without incident. The next day I got the bee splits set out again and transferred them to standard equipment. Yep, there was flight confusion and drifting, but ultimately everything settled out. My point for this long story, when I casually agreed to wax-papered newt boxes, I did not envision a rainy drive home and subsequent high wind and rainstorms before I could get the splits into permanent boxes. As usual, I envisioned a perfect bee world. I would suggest that you have a doomsday plan for what to do if things don't go as you plan. Detail number 6. All things queen related. No doubt the reason more beekeepers do not produce splits is queen availability needed to head those splits. Yes, some rarefied few beekeepers are set up to produce a few queens of their own, but many of these producers are having to buy queens at a time when they are most in demand, so the type and the caliber of queen will develop from producer to producer. Listeners, honestly, at this point, it's difficult to put this into practical wording, but I have to try. Here goes. Your goal with this split is to get the colony established. In a real world, your primary requirement is that the queen's ability is great enough to establish a successful brood nest and stabilize the colony with her pheromone output. I would suggest that if she's able to do that, the producer has met their obligation to you. In that perfect world that I've discussed, you would get a high-dollar, fancy-bred queen that would lead the young colony to population greatness in a short time. But in the real world, you just hope to get a queen that can lead the colony to accumulate enough colony reserves to survive the next winter that is still months away. In my case, I'm only trying to get the small colony established. Once the split colony is on firm survival ground, I may then decide to upgrade the colony queen's leadership. What's to prevent the provider from selling me an old queen? Honestly, not much. The good news is that probably the provider will not have a large inventory of old queens. But while I really don't want a queen that's already approaching her supercedure time, if she is productive enough to stabilize the colony, and very importantly, if the colony's worker bees have shown that they are okay with her, then so be it. I just wrote above that I may very well be considering replacing the queen anyway. Even a new, young queen may be superseded by finicky nurse bees. Nothing is assured. At the risk of repeating myself, I feel that the primary goal is to get a stable, established colony that I can work and manage as it develops into a full-featured colony. Listeners, I want to step outside the article for a minute. I didn't go into this. Yes, no one's asked, but you can buy a queenless split. It's dangerously close, nothing more than buying a package then without a queen. So if either you have a queen or you think that the split can raise its own queens, that's all possible. But you lose that brood continuity. But if you want to try it, so far as I know, it can be done. I've never done it, but I would be reasonably certain that beekeepers somewhere would eagerly sell you 3 or 4 of their frames for a fair amount of money, and then the queen becomes your problem. So, I don't have any advice. I don't have any recommendations. I can't tell you how you should do it, but a queenless split would certainly be possible. Detail number 7, the season. If the split provider let the baby colony produce its own queen, then I and my new bees have already missed some of the early spring nectar and pollen flow. That part of the season had to be used to grow the queen. I need to be prepared to feed this young colony as it tries to accumulate enough resource wealth to winter its first major dearth. To assist this small colony, in addition to supplemental feeding, I will need to perform all the beekeeper assigned tasks like varroa control and small hive beetle suppression. The queen's output and the season are intimately related. Sometimes the queen just does not work out. If you have enough season, and you must decide if you have enough season, then replace her. If the season has progressed to the typical summer dearth or even into autumn, you and your new colony may be better off to pass the winter with a subpar queen leading the colony. Hey, no one said beekeeping was easy. Detail number 8. Failure. What recourse do you have if the splitting colony fails? Honestly, not much. I'm not defending producers, but many things and seasonal events are beyond their control, but it's not just about failed splits. What recourse do you have if a package project fails? Not much. Are all hived swarms successful? No. As you know, there are no guarantees in any aspect of beekeeping. If you truly feel that what was in your newt box when you got home was not what you negotiated, certainly you can complain. But I really doubt that much will become of it. I'm sure, however, that you will not return to that provider next season, and I also expect that you will quietly let others know of your negative experience. I feel a need to say that I've never been given a split that seemed to be significantly less than what I bargained for. But, no doubt, some of you have other stories. I want to step outside of the article again and say that when you pick up your splits, most of the time, they're ready to go. You pull up, you negotiate, you pay the price, you talk about the bees for a few minutes, you load your splits up, and you take off. But a few times in my beekeeping career, I've actually been part of the splitting process. So you're there when the frames are chosen, you're there when the queen goes in, you see how many bees you're getting, you see it all. So that way you know what you're taking home. But what if you get there and they're already made up and closed up? It would be, to my way of thinking, counterproductive to untape all those things and open them up and have a look to be sure that everything is in there that should be in there. By doing that, you're just releasing the adult bees that will come flying out, and every one of those bees were going to be yours. But now you're leaving them there at their home yard. So if you were wondering back up in the article why you'd be surprised about what was in or what's not in the box, is that you frequently don't really know until you get home and physically transfer the bees over. Okay, back to the article. Winding down here, some weeks ago, Kim and I posted a podcast at honeybeeobscura.com where we had a 20-minute discussion on buying and managing splits. It's free. Have a listen if you'd like. I'm finished at this point. Hey, I appreciate you listening. If you've got questions, give me a call. I almost said give me a call. Drop me a line. Give me some time to get back. Sometimes it takes me quite a while to get back to you, but I'm usually pretty good about answering any responses that come in. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you reading the article. I look forward to talking to you next month. Thanks a lot. Jim Tew.